Hello and welcome to episode 6, season 2 of The Purple Patch with Duck and Oz, a Fremantle Dockers podcast brought to you by two passionate Freo fans. Oz, mate, been treating up. We played a game of mini golf today. I managed to beat you in the last hole.
Fair to say, Greg Normand it.
Mate, you missed a three-footer?
Can I just start by saying the hole was... So Wembley, shout out Wembley Golf Course. It lipped out. I Greg Normand it. The Masters all over.
It's fair to say I got in your head early, mate, with the mind games. I said you're going to choke. You drop the ball. You're using the back of the golf bottom hand of the golf club.
That's just how
I don't know what you're doing, mate.
You're
panicking, mate. I could see it. You're like... And, mate, I just came up with the chocolates, which was, always going to happen. Hey, Oz, mate, we got a big game. Oh, and shout out to Mo as well. We played.
Yes.
We got a big game this weekend. Saturday.
Now, oh, boy.
Hold the bus, everybody, because you thought 11 o'clock was dockery. Mm. You thought Sunday at 4 was dockery. Mm. We found the new favourite dockery time of 10:35 in the a.m. They don't even have daylight savings in the bloody Gold Coast. Mate, they do not have daylight savings in Queensland. So this is a 12:35 game, Rezzy's time, if you want to call it that.
Yes.
At Metricon, the 16th place, 1-4 Dockers will play the 4th place, 3-2 St Kilda Saints, mate.
Ooh.
Saints doing the interesting thing, Oz, of driving up from Noosa. Two and a half hour drive on the bus.
We're going back in time. It's almost like Oz kick times.
It's an old-fashioned bus trip, mate, is what it is.
The little ones start off early.
It's, the times are always weird, mate. 10:30, but I mean, you can't even get to a pub. And, like, what are you supposed to do? You're not going to drink during the game because the game will be over by 12.
Mm.
So what are you, bloody three sheets to the wind and, it's 12 o'clock on a Saturday. You know, regular crowd shuffling in. Oh, hello, bit of Billy Joel, piano man. Oz, mate. The bus trips really got me. The two and a half hour bus trip. I say 12 and a half hours or two and a half from Noosa.
Yeah.
I would like to think that St Kilda and Brett Ratton, and I know this isn't the St Kilda, Stod class or whatever, but I'd like to think that Brett Ratton and St Kilda on the trip back, couple of cartons,
right,
take it easy, 2.5 hours.
A bus lock in.
Well, just a bus trip, mate. Okay. An old-fashioned bus trip, mate.
Okay.
Oz, do you want to go through the Dockers team?
Do I want to go through the team? Yes, I do. All right, so the Fremantle Dockers, as you mentioned, are excited. They're pumped. They're ready to roll straight from the back line here. We got Stephen Hill. Brennan Cox comes back in. Welcome back. Ethan Hughes, Nathan Wilson, Luke Ryan, and Hayden Young. Then we have Darcy Tucker, Nat Fyfe, and James Aish through the guts. Forward line looks like Adam Chera, Rory Lobb, Sam Sturt. Welcome back, Trav Collier, Matt Tabiner, and Michael Walters. And our followers are Sean Darcy, David Mundy, and Andrew the Tacklaw Brayshaw. Interchange so far, Duck, we've got Brett Bewley, Caleb Sarong, Lockie Schultz, and Blake Akers, who is going to make his debut for the mighty boys in purple. And the emergencies at the moment, Mitch Croden, Connor Blakely, Bailey Banfield, and Talon Duman.
Awesome. So the ins were Akers, Cox, Fyfe, and Collier. Outs, Logue and Hogan and Conker all injured. Calf, toe, and hamstring, and our man Doodle Dooman's been omitted after a late inclusion last week. For St Kilda, they're in. Zach Jones is in for them, and Dan Hennelbury's injured, so they're five-year, $500,000 a year man's hasn't been able to pull up the boots yet, mate.
Interestingly, mate, the amount of injuries that we have, you could actually name the injuries as possibly the 22 calf, toe, knee.
Oh, yeah,
hamstring.
Mate. All different
parts of the body.
It's all different things.
It's like a little game you play.
Yeah. Ankle.
Bingo.
Just see what's going on.
Yeah.
Knee. Hey, mate, let's just get into the matchups nice and quickly. Look, starting from my first one in the back line, I had a little look on. There was an ABC article on why St Kilda are going so well at the moment.
Yes.
And they talked a lot about this guy. But Ethan Hughes, I want to talk about for a start. A little bit of an unsung hero, Oz, in that back six. I know Luke Ryan's got a lot of credit. Griffin Logue's obviously injured now. But Ethan Hughes has got a big role to play this week. Now, whether or not he plays on this guy will be another thing. But look, I've got him matched up potentially on Dan Butler. Now, Hughes, obviously unsung hero, may play tour, may play on Membury, may play on Dean Kent, who's a Perth boy from Lathlane just down the road.
Oh, but, boy.
Dan Butler, mate, the guy he's matching up on, obviously a Richmond guy who's come over from Richmond last year. I think they got him for a bit of a steal in the draft. Mate, he's kicked 9 goals. He's actually, they did a little bit of a graph on this ABC article, and they had one of the y-axis were tackles inside 50s, and the x-axis was score involvements.
Ooh.
And these were both per game, and he's right up. He's up the top for both. So he's got about 2.5 tackles inside 50 per game and about 6 score involvements per game. Same with Dean Kent, pretty similar. So it's going to be, they like to lock the ball in, the Saners, and they do, I mean, they win the ball all over the place. But look, if we can get Young, Hill, Wilson, run and carry from the D50, with Hughes locking down on potentially Kent, stopping that pressure, you know, we know that Ryan or Cox is going to play on King. That's going to be a massive matchup. So we're going to need Hughes as well, drift across, third man, but making sure we're protecting their smaller forwards as well, mate. So it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one when it comes to that. And their forward 50 pressure is immense.
Mm.
And look, the skills of the guys, and with Conker going out and having that, you know, and Logue played his best game of his career last week. And Conker's always a leader down there. We're going to need to see Hill and Wilson, who have been a bit underdone. Hopefully third game now, they start to show a bit. Young is obviously class footy player already. So hopefully he can continue to evolve and he may run past him. But it's going to see how young Ethan Hughes goes. Much maligned player when it comes to the Freo Dockers, and always someone that people go, well, we could drop Ethan Hughes, I guess, you know, like, but I think he's a really heart and soul of the footy club kind of player, mate.
Yep.
And it really tries his hardest, which we love as Dockers, trying your hardest. You know, Shawnee Mack always tried his hardest. Ethan Hughes always tries his hardest. But he actually does impact the contest a lot, and he runs and carries, and hopefully he can show a little bit of flair as well off
yes.
the back, off the halfback, and we can get a bit of run and carry from the halfback, mate.
He is deceptively quick, which is something that's not often talked about.
Yeah, got good closing speed. Yes. Here, mate. That's one of my notes I got.
Yes.
Very easy.
Yeah.
But, mate, you want to do a matchup in the mids?
Yeah, look, mate. Don't tell my heart. My achy, breaky heart. Now, Brett Akers won't be lining up versus Bradley Hill on the wing, if you don't mind, umpire. Now, is it weird that this is officially the debut of Akers for the club, considering his name has basically been mentioned in every conceivable Freo forum since he arrived at the end of last year? Ask you that question.
Yeah, and it's a big one because it's Brad Hill, obviously, again, we lost him at the end of the year. We get in Akers as a part of the trade, plus a first rounder, I think it was. First rounder. So, you know, that is there going to be a little bit of, oh, well, what do we see? We know Akers taller, bit slower,
well,
maybe slightly better skills.
Here we Hill, go.
You've got it, mate.
Here we
you
go.
Have the forum
now, obviously. Look. Quick look at the Akers stats is essentially a tantalising insight into the beast he could become at Freo. Akers was drafted in 2013 from West Perth and is currently listed at 90 kegs duck and 191 centimetres, as you said. So he's a big boy. And when we watched him play against Carlton, I didn't appreciate his size until being at the ground.
Yeah.
And seeing how he moves is actually
big
quite...
Big wingman, tall wingman.
Yes.
And that may be a good link-up.
Yes.
There.
So very much an important facet of his game. So he's obviously a big body that can run all day. And now in his 75 games for the Saints, Duck, he actually averaged just under 18 posies, 3.2 tackles, 3 inside 50s and 2 clearances per game. So his best is very good. In fact, his best... 30 possessions, 9 marks, 4 tackles, and a goal in 2018. He's very consistent. The stats are hovering around the same throughout his time at St Kilda. In fact, they increased exponentially from first year to second, as you would expect, but he's been very consistent. So a good user of the football will be a key inclusion moving forward. And obviously for us on the wing, another marking option as well, and a good user of the football. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing Akers play on the weekend. Now, there's no need to roll out the superlatives for Bradley Hill.
Yeah.
Devastating to see him go. Look, I feel that seeing Hill run across the Optus Stadium Oval provided some of the best memories for me over a difficult couple of seasons, like in my opinion anyway. And it was hard to see him go. So we know he's like a choo-choo train. We know he's going to run all day. He's going to provide the running carry that is fast becoming the cornerstone of St Kilda play, along with the inside 50 tackling and the pressure and the relentless pursuit of the pill. So they're definitely the most exciting and palatable team to see at the moment, in my opinion, especially under Ratten. And I think they have been helped with some key ins this year, and I think their game style suits the ins that they have. But certainly Bradley's the jewel in the crown. Like he had some class through the middle. But I guess my concern, Duck, is, and you can answer this without notice, is how we cope with his running power and how we combat the pace and bounce that players like he'll provide.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I saw RTB, I think it was RTB, it might have been Kane Corns, I don't know who it was. I think it was Ross the Boss, do a little a thing on him on Footy Classified where you've actually got whoever's playing on Brad Hill has to be devastating against him because he'll give you room. He'll give you room to run and let you attack. So I think if that's Akers or maybe even it's Aish on the other wing or Bewley, they've really got to work hard in winning the ball, getting it forward. Now, hopefully it's Aish or Akers getting it inside our inside 50, working the ball really nicely. Now, mate, wouldn't it be a little bit tantalising if young Bradley happened to line up on young Stephen Hill and it's a battle of the Hill boys. You know, like just a little bit of brother rivalry as well. Seeing those guys line up, I wouldn't mind seeing Stephen kind of just look at him and say, look, I'm the big brother. It's time to ragdoll you a bit, mate.
Look, I was tempted, but I think
Akers will. And Hill won't play in the wing, but just imagine that, mate. Wouldn't you just go to him and just go, look out, buddy. But well, look, we know how good Brad Hill is. It seems like he's got better since he's gone to Victoria. He hasn't. He stayed the same. Yeah. He's been awesome.
It's just
he's
the commentators probably the
best,
see him.
Well, he's the best wingman in the competition the last 2 years with the Dockers. Yep. And they were just like, oh, cool. Like, mate, we watched him week in, week out. He motors up and down. He gets back hard. He works hard. His skills sometimes do let him down. So hopefully he has one of those days where his skills aren't great. Touch wood for the Dockers. But, you know, he's an outstanding player and he's someone that the Dockers hopefully didn't want to let go. But look, we get, you know, Young or Sarong from him. So, you know, we just revamp and re-hit and we go again, you know.
Yeah, I like it.
Mate, do you want me to do my Ford matchup and then you can do your other one? How do we do that? Change it up a bit.
Yeah.
Hey, look, my Ford matchup is Dougal Howard, one of the great names in footy, versus Tabs. Look, Tabs, mate, with Hogan out, Tabs needs to stand up. Hopefully he doesn't lead too much towards the pocket. We know he loves a good pocket lead. Hopefully he's kicking off his right foot, as in the strongest foot, which is his right foot, Ben Simmons theory, hashtag.
Yep.
Tabs kicking off the wrong foot off his left all the time. Mate, if he can kick 3 goals plus, I think we win the game, and that's a big statement by me, mate.
3GT.
If he can kick 3 goals, Rory Lobb pops up with a couple, and then we go from there. Maybe Sturt, a couple of goals from there. But look, it's going to be a big matchup, mate. Dougal Howard, since 2017, he essentially leads the competition in spoils and intercepts per game. So he's just a bit of a, you know.
He's the one percenter, really, isn't he?
Well, he's a bit of a, you know, a tower there that you can't get past. Trying to like a brick wall.
Yeah.
That's an impenetrable force to get past. So, look, being from Port Adelaide, it's pretty hard. We hardly see any Port Adelaide games, so you don't get to appreciate him. But he's a solid full back. And he was up there with Harris Andrews as probably the two best defenders, if you go on those stats, since 2017. Everyone keeps raving about Harris Andrews. Remembering as well, the other thing that Tabs is going to have to provide, and this is the same with Lobb and with all the forwards, is that pressure in the forward line. St Kilda love to score from rebound 50s and intercept possessions in the in defensive 50. So they will cut us up if we are sloppy going inside 50. We can't bomb it away. We've seen that change. We haven't seen, however, people taking the right option. Maybe that's still a little bit of RTB going towards the pocket, the defensive style. All right, if we kick it to the pocket and someone drops it, it's a throw in, we can start again. We can't get scored against quickly. But look, I'd love to see him go long to Tabs, go long to Lob, especially deep forward. You know, Tabs and Lob generating a little bit of a, you know, something different. And, you know, it is good. Darcy's playing, Lob's playing, Tabs is playing. So, look, Tabs can really just stay forward the whole game, get that real run and carry if you need. I mean, big run up the wing if he needs to get up there, get some touches. But him and Lob need to get some kind of Twin Towers style connection in the forward.
Yeah, look, it's going to be interesting. And I love the way you focused on Tabs and Lob as well, given the fact that Hogan goes out of the side. Now there's that, you know, the focal point of those two. It's going to be very interesting to see how the spacing works out. And then with that spacing, as you said, you've got two contested marking beasts. When the ball goes forward, we've got two genuine tall forward targets. And how we distribute the kicks, is it going to be easier for us having two targets rather than trying to, you know, that split second, where's the third? And then, you know, you're going to be crumbing front and center off those two. It's going to be very interesting.
Well, hopefully we see the likes of Schultz and Collier and Sturt and, you know, whoever's the other midfielder rolling through there, really defensive as well, because St Kilda will just cut us up there. Guys of Clofield, I think he is, and Clark, rangy type, pick 7 and 8 from the Chair and Brayshaw draft. Both are starting to come into their own. So, look, really need to. Plus, they've got Carlisle back there. Geary might go back there. You know, they've got a lot of good players who can play in their back line. So, look, it's a really big opportunity for those guys to step up, you know, and put some pressure in there, keep the ball in, repeat entries, get it to the big fellas.
I also think it's good that potentially Sturt's on the third defender. I know you said that St Kilda obviously have a number of players that can roll back. But, you know, not necessarily a bold statement, but I'd take Sturt over most of the third defenders. I mean, he's savvy, quick, great hands. And I think, you know, don't be surprised if he bobs up for a few goals here, because the centre of attention obviously is going to be in our major two. And I think that he could be an avenue for us.
You know, and I think we saw last week that when Fife is out of the game, Chair and Brayshaw actually played probably their two best games that they've played so far this year. So it may be an option to maybe play Fife coming off a slight hamstring. Let's play him deep as a Hogan role. You know, it's going to be really hard to match up on him forward. You know, so it gives us a target. Look, I know that Fife's a bull at the contest, but you've got a guy you're talking about in the matchup now.
Oh, here we go. Now, fresh off 23 disposals, I guess I'm going to go St Kilda first here, mate. So, fresh off 23 disposals, 9 tackles versus Carlton. Jack Steele, not to be confused with Jack Stevens, is playing some great footy at present. He's averaging 20 disposals, just under 6.5 tackles and 3 clearances per game. I'll say that again, 6.5 tackles and 3 clearances per game. Very solid. Last time he played Frio, he had 17 possessions and 8 tackles. Loves a good tackle.
Good tagger.
Yeah. Look, if Bradley is the smooth-running choo-choo train that we mentioned, Steele is the workhorse that just grunts his way through games. Now, Duck, you cannot mention tackles without discussing this guy. Feel the thunder, mate. Lightning and the thunder, if you don't mind. The tackle, a.k.a. Two Fruit, a.k.a. Andy Brayshaw, a.k.a. Lightning. This season has been a little up and down for the Tacklaw, but he's hoping he has turned the corner from the opportunity to shine in the Frio midfield and just takes it on from now. Look, what makes Andy important is obviously his chase, his tackling, and what he showed last week is that he can be clean by hand, he can be clean by foot, and generating scoring drive with clean possessions, scoring chains. That's what we wanted to see. Now, this matchup won't necessarily be filled with highlights of screamers or goals, but if you love to watch a good old-fashioned battle in the guts, Duck, this one is for you.
Be good. Hopefully, we do see Brayshaw at the centre clearance as well.
Yep.
Got 10 coaches' votes last week.
I love that.
Played really well.
Love that.
I thought Mundy was a little bit better than him, but for his development, I feel like Mundy and Fife potentially play a little less in the middle, and then we see Brayshaw and Chera run through there a bit more, and Sarong.
And that's also good for us because we're prolonging two careers of elite players. So when we hit that mark where we are contending for a premiership, which is not too far around the corner, mate, I'll give you the tip. We're ready to go.
Yeah. Anyway, Oz, on that note, let's go to a break. When we come back, we have our favourite segments, Dual Citizens and Best Time They Met. Welcome back to episode 6, season 2 of The Purple Patch with Duck and Oz.
Howdy.
Oz, what was the name of that tune?
That was called MRI Magic.
MRI Magic.
That was just after I had the MRI. You know how you go into an MRI machine?
Yeah.
Because I had to go in head first.
Mm.
And then you get, like, you've got to listen to these sounds. And then I started thinking about, in order to not get that sense of claustrophobia,
yeah,
I just turned everything into a song.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, yeah. That sounds good. So I just tried to find something.
I had an MRI on my ankle ages ago. In the at the height of COVID, I had an MRI on my ankle. And
we had
it
the
was
same time.
The most relaxed, because I just went in, my ankle just went in.
Oh, okay.
Whole body outside except for my ankle. It was the most relaxed I was over that time period because I was just stressing out big time, mate. Yeah. I was like, we're all going to die. Everyone's going to die. The economy's going to collapse. We're done for. It's going to wipe everyone out. Anyway, and there will be no footy. Oz, into the Dual Citizens, mate, and I believe you got a theme tune for us.
Yep.
Bit of the Beastie Boys, mate. Yeah. Seen those guys play twice.
Oh, boy.
Once a big day out and once at up in the, I don't know what it's called, like Good Vibes or something like that. It was out in the Swan Valley in that big amphitheater.
Oh, okay.
Is that the word? Did I say that right? Amphitheater?
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
Yeah.
What am I putting in an extra L?
Well, putting
a bit of mustard on it. Amplifier. Amphitheater. Look, mate. Now, last time we did these guys, we did young Heath Black, a yo-yo man, one of the greats. And yep, we love a good yo-yo man. Mm. However, this guy is a dual citizen that came to the Dockers and someone went back the other way. So it was an old-fashioned player-for-player swap. And that is young Matthew Carr, mate, who originally got drafted to Collingwood.
Oh, right.
Originally drafted Collingwood, couldn't crack it there, came back to WA, then got picked up in the preseason by St Kilda, played 28 games over 3 seasons, then got traded for Craig Callaghan. So straight swap, Carr for Callaghan. He ended up playing 134 games for Dockers and kicked 64 goals. So overall in his career, played 162 games and kicked 66 goals. Mate, couple of his awards. 2004, he was best clubman. And in terms of Doig, he finished third in 2001 when we had our terrible year, first year back at the club. Sixth in 2002, sixth in 2003, and then 10th in 2006. Now, 2006 was the year we made our run to the prelim. Mm. Played every single game,
yep,
young Matthew. Now, mate, straight swap for obviously Craig Callaghan. Callaghan went on to play 29 games for St Kilda. Injuries kind of wrecked his career. I think he did his knee at the Dockers. And then he had subsequential like knee and calf, yep, and stuff like that all at St Kilda. Because Callaghan was a solid player for the, yeah, Dockers, mate, and I love the goatee. Mate.
And a four, where are they now? Former, yeah, where are they now?
The very first,
the
I
very
believe.
First one.
Maybe it was the second. I think we did Clive first. Mate, in 2003, he was a part of the International Rules Series, in which Australia won 101-94 over the two games. Now, Oz, thoughts on international rules?
Yeah.
Bit of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
it
is.
Is there any other international rules highlights you can think of other than Chris Johnson clotheslining that poor player from Ireland?
Oh, boy.
You know, like, because the Gaelic game, there's no tackling.
Mm.
So, like, it's a bit tough when these big, bulky, and they're all amateurs as well.
Yeah.
No one gets paid.
Yeah.
And they come across professional Australian footy players.
Yeah.
And it's very comical, I believe. And, like, when you see these skinny, Irish guys and, like, I remember they had a guy who came over a couple of years ago who was supposed to be, like, the Chris Judd of Gaelic football, and they called him the Gooch. is someone, Gooch, and they're like, the Gooch, and he's like this skinny, pale, ginger-headed, stereotypical Irish-looking bloke, mate, and he got destroyed about five or six times. Like, he got tackled, like, you know, running down the wing, just bouncing it, and just, like, blindsided tackled, and just, like, wrecked, and like, you know, if he was playing GDA, they'd be putting the waste and stuff like that. But, mate, in terms of Matty Carr, mate, we'll always be remembered as a bit of a no-nonsense tagger, could go forward, kick a goal, quite a tall guy, 190 centimetres, so quite a tall midfielder. Mate, really excelled once Josh came to the club, but and will probably be best known for the derby in 06 in which him, Josh and Matthew went toe-to-toe with Kerr and Cousins and absolutely belted them and kicked a couple of goals and got it. Like, and that's one of the things where you're like, man.
White jersey.
Mate, and you're like, man, like we, like I always remember Matthew Carr in, especially in derbies, kicking goals, like playing on Ben Cousins.
Yes.
Kicking goals, like keeping him to not many touches. Like he'd kick like two or three goals, go forward. They're like, oh, Carr's going forward. He's drifted forward.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, especially like his career prior to Josh getting there, like you kind of like, oh yeah, he was a solid player. But then when Josh got there, he just lifted. Elevated. You know, and he was very good. And then unfortunately, you know, injuries cut his career a little bit short. You know, and he potentially probably could have played 150 for the Dockers, but just fell a season short, essentially.
Can I ask you this question? Mm. If there's one distinguishing feature of Matty Carr, what would it be?
I feel like it's the hair.
I think it's the sun tat on the arm. On that. I don't know why I always remember it, but just streaming down the wing.
I thought you were going to say he always only had one boot. It's a classic dad joke. Why can't cars play footy? Because they only have one boot. All right, that's great, Oz. On that note, mate, that's enough about Matthew Carr, especially. Mate, best time they met?
It's time to hop in the DeLorean, mate. Special sound effects today. Don't worry, I'm going all out. Let's jump back to 3rd of June, 1995, round 10, when the mighty Fremantle Dockers dished out an all-time pantsing of the St Kilda Football Club, get this done, to the tune of 2011, 131 to 9660. So I'll say that again, 20 goals, 11, 131. Now that was in front of 14,890 shock supporters at Waverley Park. Now, in Waverley. Yeah, before it became apartments. Now, in what became known as the Waverley Bathing, a highly energised Freo outfit was simply too good on the day and sending the clear message to the comp that, you know what, Freo? We are a club to be reckoned with, and a premiership was just around the corner. Only problem is, Duck, the corner turned out to be a never-ending cul-de-sac, but I digress. Now, let's go on with the statistics here, which can be quite interesting at the end of the day. So let's start with this. Who do you think ended up kicking the goals?
Oh, is that all good? I just accidentally kicked out your...
Yeah, you kicked my thing. That's all right, mate.
It's all good. Everything's still recording.
It's all good.
Fantastic. All good. Okay. Oh, phew. Imagine that's that, right, mate. All right.
Who do you think kicked the goals?
And so what year is this, Oz?
This is 1995.
1995?
Round 10, 3rd of June.
Oh, I'm going to say Todd Ridley maybe kicked some... Abraham Hutton? Hutton kick a couple?
Yeah, geez, you're not too far away.
Willsey?
Mate, here
Peter
we go.
Peter Mann? Oh, Peter Mann would have kicked a couple.
Peter Mann kicked five.
Ooh!
Who do you think kicked four?
I'm going to go someone. Is it someone I should know? Or is it a little bit freaky?
Bit of a fave of yours.
Fave of mine?
Yeah, a while ago.
Wills? No, who's my fave?
If I could give you a hint, I would
Dale
say
kick it?
R.I.P.
Oh, Gary Durko.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, four goals.
R.I.P.
Three goals to Andrew Wills, two goals to Peter Miller, two goals to Neil Mildenhall.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. And our mate Shawnee Mack, shout out Shawnee, how you going? He kicked a goal as well. Now,
nice.
Peter Mann put on a football clinic. He had 20 disposals. As I mentioned, he had the five goals, and he had three Brownlow votes.
Nice.
Shawnee Mack had two Brownlow votes.
How 20, many touches did he get? Sorry.
Which one? Shawnee Mack?
Shawnee Mack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, mate. I'm ready to roll here. Yeah. Shawnee Mack had 22 disposals, Duck. He had three tackles and a goal. Now, as I mentioned, Gary Durke had four goals. He had four tackles and he had 18 possessions. Is that good enough for one vote?
I would have thought so.
Nah.
No?
If you guess David,
vote,
if you
I reckon. Oh, who was it? Sorry?
If you guess David Muir Duck,
David Muir.
If you'd be correct,
hey, and Muir got a vote.
Yeah. Now he had 15 possessions. He had three tackles and three marks. Now, not quite the Gary Durkee stats, but that's what happens.
This was back when they never used to look at the stats before they'd give the votes out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is I effectively believe this is what happens when you have no idea who the Freo players are.
Yeah.
You need to go home to have a hot shower because the Waverley facilities are falling apart and there's no hot water.
Now,
you just make it up.
But did Gary Durkee kick the four goals in the last quarter or something? You know what I mean? Like, did he kick those goals when the game was already over?
Irrelevant.
David Muir, where was he playing in the back line? Did he play a good game on Stewie Lowe? One of the, you know, like back in the day, mate, they would give, I mean, you think, we watch those old games like the inaugural game, shout out, hashtag Redockables.
Yeah.
Mate, they're giving votes to Brendan Gale and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
back when Backman used to get the
back
old.
Back when everyone used to get votes, forwards, backs, all over the place. Now it's all mids, but mate.
Let me read through this St Kilda team that were no mugs.
Mm.
Robert Harvey, Nathan Burke,
ooh.
Justin Peckett, Nicky Winmar. Daryl Wakelin, Ozzie Jones, Peter Everett, Spider Everett.
Yeah.
But he was super young then.
Yeah.
Super young. Danny Frawley, Stewie Lowe, Sirikoski before he went back to the Eagles. Yep. Yeah. So they were a pretty good team.
Mate, and they next year they would make the grand final, wouldn't they? 96.
Yes.
They made the grand final. Were pretty much the best team in the comp and then they melted on grand final.
If I'm not mistaken, a young bustling Barry Hall played for St Kilda and lost the plot in the grand final. Like his head went completely red.
Oh,
like
I think
was raged.
I think he didn't touch the ball or something like that. I know Roy and HG talk about the Barry Hall medal for grand finals because I think he, in he's all three
young.
Of the grand finals that he's played in,
he
has not played a single good game.
Well, I know he was very young in that one, so I just remember.
Very young, mate.
Loose.
Now, Oz.
Yeah.
Just before we wrap up, mate, the line is 14.5, Oz.
Oh, come on.
So, do you give us a chance to get within that line? And B, how do you think we'll go on Saturday?
Yeah, look, I do. No disrespect to St Kilda because they are playing some scintillating football at present. But a lot could be said about a bus trip, Duck. I think that's a bit of a shots fired there to Freo that they believe they can take a good old-fashioned bus trip, you know, get the old country bus trip going, kick some goals, win the game, come home. I mean, I'd be taking that personally if I was Freo.
Well, you look at St Kilda, like, essentially since the quarantine stuff's all finished, mate, they've belted Western Bulldogs. They got belted by Collingwood. They belted Richmond, and then they beat Carlton by 18 points. So, look, it's a little bit of up and down, but they are the form team of the competition. They brought in a lot of good players. They've done a lot of money ball style stuff, brought in some good players, paid some other players. They've got, you know, the big thing will be how are we going to match up on their forwards? King in particular, we have no tall defenders. Like, Cox isn't really a tall defender.
Yeah.
Look, it'll come down to who wins it in the heart of the thing anyway. So whether or not Fife plays a game outside of his shell again, you know, the last two games we played against St Kilda, they've been decided by less than a goal both games.
Yes.
So I think it could be less than a goal either way, you know. And what we'll need to do is not have one bad quarter because even against the Crows.
Or even a bad 10 minutes.
Yeah, bad 10 minutes. But like even against the Crows, that second quarter, bad quarter, you know. We can't have a bad quarter. Hopefully they give us a little bit of leeway. We can do our little kicks. Hopefully as well the boys are backing their skills, plenty of run, plenty of aggressive run and carry. And they finish off the hub in style and get a really good upset win.
Yeah.
You know, and if we come out of the hub 2-4, you know, mate, 7 home games where essentially, you know, we're only 2 games out of the bloody top 4.
I know, mate.
You know, St Kilda in the top 4 with 2-3-2.
One of the things we talked about on the old Purple Rain, make sure you subscribe, chick-ching. One of the things we talked about was the importance of the hub in terms of it's like a second preseason.
Yeah.
So you have your preseason, then this happens, this whole COVID thing. Then we go into isolation, lockdown, / hub. It's a second preseason, really, because all of the boys are together. They're bonding. They get a chance to really focus in and be 100% on the game plan. Now, it may not necessarily show in the results in the near future, but I guarantee you next year, mate, when Oh, it's going to start ticking over.
And I think, Oz, as well, we need to really, and as fans out there, we really need to appreciate the Dockers and what they've sacrificed here. You know, we've had all players go over there. Mate, there has not been a single complaint about anything.
Yep.
They've gone to live in the Gold Coast when WA is the safe. Like, it's not like they're Victorians leaving Victoria where it's the danger zone at the moment. They're in WA. They're in the safe haven.
Yes.
They moved to Queensland. No complaints. No nothing. They've had the full time over there. And look, I can't say how proud I am of those Dockers guys. And I know Jared Waitley came out and said, "Oh, stop complaint, like stop hating on the Victorians and things like that." But I think as well, I think that's really great. The other thing as well is that, you know, you've got to take some pride in the Dockers and what they've done for the last 6-8 weeks, you know, and they're going to come back to quarantine as well. You know, that's going to be a bit of a stitch.
Yep.
So, look, it's really, really interesting there to see what they do. And, you know, we get back and we get to see him play next weekend, you know. So, look, derby time next weekend, mate. Who knows what could happen, but let's really see a really big effort. You know, if we lose by less than 2 goals, I'll be pretty happy. And it's as long as we don't have those little lapses, because we've been in games every game, except, you know, obviously we won last week, but every game we've been in it, we have these little patches where we look $1 million, but then there's these patches where we look about $5. So, you know, hopefully the boys avoid being in Ducks Donuts on Monday. You know, so...
I've got 2 points.
What's that, mate?
No, I've got us winning by
2 points. Win by 2 points? I reckon we'll lose by about 2 goals.
Yep.
I think they'll kick a late one just to seal it and just to really break our hearts on a Saturday afternoon, mate. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, Wooshka. Also, remember to listen to our show, The Purple Rain. We're at Purple Rain 95 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we have a review show every Monday in which we take listeners' questions. So if you've got a question, if you want to talk Dockers and, you know, your Eagles friends don't want to listen to you, feel free to ask us a question on the Facebook, the Twitter, or the Instagram. All right, guys, ciao, and good luck to the Dockers on the weekend.
Let's go, Frio.